You're listening to Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hello, and welcome to Fanboy Versus. I am not JD Church. I'm not even Brian Kilby. He's sitting over there.
He's not?
It's Chris McFeely here, and I am your temporary host for this week because both JD and Nicole are out because they're watching some sport.
They got a sickness.
What,
for
there's
Super
something
Bowl
with a ball going on today?
Triplett's actually in studio right now. See, you can see my hand
there. There's my hand. You can see it if you're on the video.
We're actually watching the Super Bowl after the show.
What kind of nerds are these people turning into?
For the commercials. There's a Dark of the Moon commercial.
Hey,
I'm watching a Captain America commercial is what I'm watching.
Yeah, I'll download that after the friggin' football's over.
I am a great nerd because,
you're here.
I'm here. But secondly, this week, my wife was talking about, I'm married, which is amazing, being
that's another point in your favor.
That's true. But my wife referred to the love interest in Dark of the Moon as Bag of Hangers. I thought that was amazing, so.
Awesome.
Oh, no, your podcasting is influencing the real world.
Yes.
Well, I don't expect any great influence from this impending train wreck, so let's see what happens. Well, it's certainly not off to a great start in the fact that there's no news this week at all. I looked, I couldn't find any. We saw the Captain America movie poster. That didn't tell us anything new.
Photograph. We saw Bucky.
Bucky, and it's some dude in overalls. Big deal. Yeah. That's not dramatic. And comic sales were down 23% on last month, so all things are good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Why is that? What was going on January of last year?
23% fewer comics were released, so that's probably a mitigating factor.
Gotcha.
Yes, you may see disaster reported here and there, but that's a key factor to remember. Also, there was nothing major released, whereas last year we were having Siege and Blackest Night, so... So I guess we'll just go straight into the comics for this week then, since we have nothing else going on. Triplett, we always start with you. So what did you read this week?
I read Amazing Spider-Man, I read Secret Six, and I read Brightest Day. Do we want to treat Brightest Day like the last book? Or since it's your damn show, we could maybe do Secret Six.
I don't know. What do we want to leave to the end? We always leave Brightest Day to the end, so we may as well talk about it now. Just switch things up. I'm here. I'm in control. Yeah.
That worked.
Let's switch it up. Let's do Brightest Day.
The end was awesome.
Yeah, that was...
Got his hand cut off!
Brightest Day's been pretty good the last couple issues.
That was ridiculous.
Why are you crying? You should be used to this.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Yes, you should be used to this by now. Black Manta was awesome. I love that.
But we're jumping
yes, out. I was thankful that it was a little bit meta in its treatment of the fact that his poor hand got lopped off again.
But we're jumping to the end, though. We need to go back. Okay,
something else happened to this?
Well, last issue, Hawkman and Hawkgirl, they're dead again, and they're really dead this time, I guess.
Oh, they were really dead in Blackest Night, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's weird. And all the stuff with Dead Man talking to the rain. It's part of the plan.
That ring manages to spend 2.5 full pages talking. And we are still no closer to really understanding what the hell.
He said something about, what did he say? He said that it's, there's the world's out of balance or something, and there's, a dark avatar that's rising, and if it gets to the forest, all is lost, and I don't think we've heard this shit before.
No, that's new, all right, and it seems a bit late in the game to be introducing it 5 issues before they end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that the comic's not keeping my interest or anything, but... It's like the White Ring is just being... It's the Chris Carter approach to a mystery,
Yes.
It's just being deliberately obfuscatory for no reason other than you can't tell everybody what the answer is right now because it's not time in the story for that to happen yet.
And I know we had said that we kind of was thinking that Dead Man is this champion, but now it kind of makes you think he's just fuel for... I mean, he even said he's fuel for the White Ring. That's how he's powered.
Mm.
So my question is this... I just caught up with 7 issues of Brightest Day today. So Dead Man's ring started charging once he was, taking his grandpa for the ride. Why didn't it charge when he was getting laid? Did you guys mention that?
No.
No.
You should have.
That wasn't part of the plan.
Maybe he wasn't wearing the ring.
No, he's wearing the ring. Sorry.
But like you know, now we're talking about like the champion waiting for the champion, that if the champion doesn't come, that fight the Dark Avatar and all this.
Yeah, it's really sounding less and less like Deadman is the champion after all.
It kind of sounds like he's going to like be burned out or something, or died, and somebody else is going to show up. I don't know.
I wonder if they're just going to come, if everybody that dies is just going to come back to life at the end of this as well. I mean, I can't assume they would off Hogman and Hawkgirl like that again.
Deadman's walking around with a ring on his finger that brings things back to life. I mean,
when it wants to, because it doesn't want.
I think it'll want to. Jeff Johns will probably want to.
So Jeff Johns is the ring. Is that what you're saying?
I would say so. Jeff Johns is the entity.
Awesome. He's gonna write himself in the story. He's gonna be like John Byrne. He'll be awesome.
Yeah, actually, thank God he's not.
Oh no, thank you.
But what else happened? So
it was all Aquaman all the time in this issue, isn't it?
It's pretty much all Aquaman and what's her name? Siren. She attacks the seashore. I don't remember where they're at because I don't have the issue in front of
them. Off of Florida.
Right off the beach.
They were off the coast of Florida.
And so they're fighting did the story kind of give us the idea that it was Deadman that let all of them out? Because it was saying that some of them got out, but we know that Aqualad is like sort of like a key to open their prison. But there's I can't remember, it's like hundreds of people that are like coming out of the water attacking, and then we see like Deadman in one panel, and I think that it Aquaman says, "Well, how did they get out or something?" And doesn't the story kind of make us think that maybe the rain and Deadman let them out? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, it's right here. I've got a bad feeling they're just below the surface out there. Someone unlocked the Bermuda Triangle, and Aqualad says, "But who?" Then we cut to a panel of Deadman appearing, and the caption says, "Who would do that and why?" As it closes in on the ring, the dickish ring.
That ring's a bastard. So the ring's going to wind up actually being the villain. That's got to be what's going to happen. Right?
Maybe that's the twist.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a big fight. And, you know, we already spoiled it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Aquaman gets his hand chopped off.
Just pops up.
Yeah, I read 7 issues of this today because I was woefully behind. Does it seem to anyone else that there's not a real consistent narrative to the story? I mean, there's not a whole lot. I mean, there's something somewhere tying these stories together. But, like, Aquaman seems disparate from the Martian Manhunter story, and, you know, where Deadman sort of ties in with, you know, I guess, you know, some of these. But it just seems like it's not really cohesive.
Well, I would argue that the Aquaman's has been a hell of a lot more interesting than that Martian Manhunter stuff.
I really...
Yeah, that Hawk, like? How that long has Hawk it been since man, he was in the book? It's been 5 issues since that terrible one issue.
Which one? The whatever happened to them?
Yeah, you would have just read that.
I just read that one today.
Did he break away from what's her name? I mean, did he like break out? Is that the last thing we saw? Like he woke up?
Yeah, that was the last one.
And then we didn't see him again, so we don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, we don't really.
Yeah, and we don't really care.
Oh, but one thing I want to mention is DC. They're putting the stuff on the covers. The Draw the Line at $2.99.
Yep.
There it is. When are we getting the Marvel version?
Well, there's a rumor going around that Marvel are going to be trying that out.
No, I was going to say, like, you know, the Marvel comic. It would be like, "Make mine $4.99, Excelsior." And see, we buy it because they said Excelsior at the end of it.
It's a no prize.
It's a no prize.
Well, yeah. No, I did hear a rumor. It was on Bleeding Cool, for whatever that matters, but that Marvel are going to be dipping their toe into that pool, hopefully sometime in the future, experimenting with DC's 20 story pages instead of 22. And $2.99 is the price point, so we'll have to see if that turns out to be true or not. But
that would be good.
Yes, it would. What else you got, Triple?
Also got the new issue of Amazing Spider-Man. And even Mr. Kilby read that one.
Of course I read that one. It's my favorite book.
So awesome. So since you are...
And I'm reading Spider-Man now as well. You know, buying it proper. There it is. Look.
Awesome.
Hey, click right here.
Wait, is that mirrored in the... It is mirrored. My video is backwards.
You'll live. It's fine on this end.
Oh, okay. It's just me then.
Yeah.
So, what'd you guys think about the new issue?
I liked it.
Oh, yeah.
I love the backup story.
Which one was the backup story?
You actually made all your notes.
All of my notes came from the backup
story.
Because the backup story included the Freemasons, Cthulhu, and Ayn Rand. So,
and the looter.
And the looter.
So the looter. Yeah, for God's sake, that's the key factor.
I love that that the Freemasons had like Cthulhu trapped in some sort of meteor, and Power Man just stabbed it.
Yeah. When this story like started like last issue, and I wanted to know what that key opened. Lord, I did not imagine it would go.
Oh, it was so awesome. They're talking about John Wilkes Booth being a 33rd degree Freemason.
And then they had to kill Abraham Lincoln.
It's amazing. I love this.
Yeah.
And the main story was good, too.
Yeah.
Yes, there's also that.
Last week's was better, I think, but, you know.
You think last week's...
I really like last week's.
Main
issue.
Story
yeah.
was better.
Yeah, I really
like... this is just the continuation of that. You know, yeah. there's not too much surprising in this issue. But I do really am liking the new Scorpion. Well, the old Scorpion. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Matt Gargan is...
Thank goodness.
Yeah, Scorpion. That's amazing. I love that.
What are you thinking about his suit, though? Does the suit kind of tick you off?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter too much. It's a bit big, maybe.
It's kind of 90s robot crazy imagey.
It's almost like the take that they were going with the new Rhino before the old Rhino destroyed him.
Yeah, kicked his ass.
Yeah.
And, like, if I was trapped in a Scorpion suit, I would make sure that I had hands and claws.
Yeah. The character that I really want to see revamped for, like, the fifth time is Doc Ock, because, of course, Doc Ock...
Oh, you don't like him now? The way
no. I like the fact that he's the mastermind behind all of this, but I like Doc Ock being, you know, not physically imposing, but physical.
I like the look of him, man. I think it's different. I mean, I don't want that to stay like the default look for him, but for Dan Slott's run, I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't want him running around in a leather jacket anymore, but, you know.
No. Yeah, Doc Ock has not had a good couple of years.
Yeah,
which
had a
is
decade.
Weird, because, you know, you think the film, they would have done something with him, but really, since...
Since he came back from the dead, basically,
he just really hasn't done anything.
That is exactly
there is yet to be justification for bringing Doc Ock back from the dead in 97?
When John Byrne rebooted, basically, the Spider-Man origin.
Oh, well, he'd been back for a little while before then, but that was epically terrible, that particular story.
It's interesting that we're talking about Doc Ock, because he's in this issue, and he plays
he pops up very briefly.
He's the hero of this issue.
Yeah, basically.
He basically fixes the shuttle so that, you know, there's not a problem.
It's like Smythe, you twat, you know.
Basically is what he says.
I calculated an 88.7% probability he was adopted.
Yes.
I like that.
But, yeah, so basically the gist of the issue, though, is that it's a follow-up from last week. John Jameson is launching into space, and there's a big brouhaha over this. Spider-Man tries to save him. He's basically begged by he's strongly encouraged by JJ, and he and... The Scorpion fight on the side of a rocket.
Spidey can't really do anything, so he actually
calls. He's just stuck there.
He calls for help to the Avengers, and guess who shows up? I knew you'd like that.
Squirrel Girl.
JD's missing out.
Not being a reader of New Avengers, I had no idea who that was.
Yeah,
I'd
explain
shame.
It to you. And it's funny because like we were expecting Squirrel Girl to show up in the last issue of New Avengers, and she wasn't.
It's for that.
Yeah. But it's great. So he calls.
Onslaught writing Squirrel Girl is always a good thing.
He like calls the Avengers trying to get help, and nobody's there. So he gets her, and he's like, he's kind of like he's in a hurry. Obviously, he's worried. So he's like, you know, shut up and transfer me. And she's like, easy there, Mister. There's always time for manners. I love that caption.
I love the art on that as well.
Yeah,
I love the idea. We said it last issue as well. You know, this is. I just really love this guy's expression. Stefano Caselli is the artist. I love his expressions.
You know, actually, this issue made me sort of sit and think. When Spider-Man was trying to shoot his web shooter at Matt Gargan, when he was on the rocket and the rocket was accelerating, the web shooter went down. And I thought, well, that's not right, because relativity teaches us that as long as there's a constant motion, that you can't tell the difference between rest and motion. But there was acceleration, so it doesn't fall prey to that. Yeah. So actually, I had to sit and think about that for a second.
You just aren't thinking for
Although I would have said, Martin. Surely the wind would blow the webs back.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if there was constant motion, the fact that he's not in a sealed environment.
But the issue basically resolves itself at the end. Spider-Man's going back to the office to go to his pocket dimension to get something. And
it's a device to stop the bug people's. Smice copied his spider sense. The new bug people sort of have like a spider insect sense or
these
something.
These bug spider slayers, yeah.
And then just to back up, the reason that he's doing this is since their plot with John Jameson's failed, they've targeted everybody else that's important to J. Jonah. So they're going after like his wife, which just so happens to be with Aunt May.
Yeah, but the issue resolves itself with Peter's boss saying, "Dun-dun-dun, I want to talk to you about you and Spider-Man." So,
which we kind of have gotten hints that he may have figured it out.
It's one thing to have a great big super closet that only opens to your palm print to keep your spider stuff in, but if you're going to be hanging around with geniuses 8 hours out of every 5 weekdays, they're gonna figure it out.
Yeah. I hope so, anyway. Otherwise, I'll be kind of disappointed. So,
yeah, in the geniuses who couldn't figure it out.
So is Max going to be, do we expect Max to maybe be revealed as some sort of a big villain or something at some point? Or do we think he's just going to be like one of the guys that figures it out?
I don't know.
Well, frankly, that's such, I don't know if I really expect him to have figured it out next issue or not, because that's just such a loaded cliffhanger, you know. But I'll be a little disappointed if the super genius rocket scientist hasn't actually been able to figure it out,
yeah.
Given that every time Spider-Man has popped up in his presence since meeting Peter Parker, Peter Parker just has to run off conveniently.
Yeah. But it was a good issue. It's just, like Brian was saying, it's just kind of picking up in the middle of a story, you know.
I wonder how many of these insect people are real characters.
I don't know. I was wondering that. I was wondering if they were real people.
Yeah, probably.
Because there's the bug woman that's like confronting Robbie, and she says, you can't have forgotten Shauna Tyron. I don't know who that is. I forgot.
No, I don't know.
After you and Jameson hounded me off the Bugle.
Just Google that right direction.
It'd be cool if she was a real character, but I doubt it.
It probably is. I mean, think of all the characters that have, gone...
I mean, it's possible. Yeah, I haven't read Spider-Man for, 40 years now, or...
Spider-Man's been around since, 63?
63? Is that right?
Yeah, so almost 50 years.
So, no, it seems like she's new for this.
Oh my god, Spider-Man's going to soon hit his 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Makes me feel
Fantastic
so
Four's
old.
50th anniversary year this year.
Wow.
But yeah, good bug.
One of them's dead for it.
Aw. Maybe he'll be back for that one issue.
Kip.
Not saying who it is, spoilers if you haven't read it.
We already spoiled it.
At this point.
Johnny Storm. At the comic shop yesterday, a guy was spoiling it for the customers in the shop. And I'm like, why are you doing that?
To get them to buy the book.
But why? Tell them that someone died. Don't tell them that the Human Torch died.
Tell them that Reed died. And get them to buy the book, and then they find out it's Human Torch.
He had the polybagged version with the top cut off, and he was pulling it out and showing people. I don't know if that's a technique that you should use.
Which
to sell
shop
books.
Did you go to?
Selfish.
Is that in Winston?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's an idiot.
I like that shop though. It's a nice little shop.
Yeah, it's a nice shop, but that's just kind of.
I like it better than your shop.
Yeah, I agree.
No offense if your shopkeep is watching.
Probably not.
JD shopkeep, I think, may watch.
Yeah.
I'm certain his shop is way better.
Well, I'm a shopkeep, and I'm not offended.
But that's
not that I haven't been spoiling it for anybody. Everybody who come in to me has already found out, I had one guy come in on Wednesday, and he just came in to me, and he just walked right up to me. Not angry at me, even in a good day. Just walked right up to me. With the finger up and just said, "I was fucking spoiled by MTV on Twitter." That was the first word.
JD spoiled me.
Yeah.
Because he knew exactly what I was talking about. He knew that I would know exactly what he was talking about. Unfortunate. But, you know, what were you doing on the internet before you got the comic?
Yeah.
I went total dead that day. I didn't internet, like, TV, anything.
You were on I Am at Work.
That was it. And you tried to spoil it.
I did not try to spoil you.
You said, have you been online? Have you watched the news? Have you done anything? And I was like, no, I hadn't. It's like, don't.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not gonna.
I didn't spoil you.
Yeah, but you. I think you wanted.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't
little
do
bit.
That.
A little bit,
maybe.
Yeah. But let's move on. You want to talk about Infestation? Infestation. What is it called?
Yeah, Infestation. Since McFeely, our host.
No, you talk about. Just talk about it in guarded
general terms. So, Infestation. It's about zombies from another dimension. I don't know where they got this idea from. It's fantastic. No, it's you know, I don't read. It appears to take place, I guess, in the ongoing universe. I don't read ongoing on a regular basis. So there are things in here, like certain characters may show up that you may think are...
I looked at it, and I don't think we've ever seen those characters show up in ongoing...
Well, there you go. So, there's zombies basically running around the different IDW universes because there's not a single cohesive universe, and for the IDW universe proper, and they come from the Robots versus Zombies or Zombies versus Robots comic. I don't read that comic, so I don't know a thing about it, and I'm not reading Infestation, the overarching title. I'm only reading the Transformers book. There's a preview of the Star Trek comic, and it's got McCoy looking at a zombie, so, saying he's dead, Jim. And I'm like, I kind of want that. But
that was kind of funny.
So what I was hoping isn't actually happening. There's a main Infestation book, and then there's a bunch of books. It's like, you know, Star Trek, Transformers, and it's happening in their universe, but we're not seeing like Kirk teaming up with Optimus Prime.
I probably won't happen.
And Bankman from Ghostbusters, and they're all fighting the zombies together, because that's what I was wanting.
That's what I wanted. Yeah.
I was thinking it's going to be ridiculous like that.
But basically, you know, I guess there's characterization in here that I question, but again, it's a different universe than the Marvel or Transformers Sunbow universe. Like, would it be a spoiler triplet if I... Galvatron's in the book.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
Okay, so there's a human... They're humans in cars, and he begs the humans to get out of their vehicles so that he can use them as weapons. Why would Galvatron ask humans to get out of their vehicles? He would just take them and throw them at the zombies.
Maybe he's from a Mirror Mirror universe, and he's actually the hero. Oh, my God.
Actually, you know, the issue starts with a big misunderstanding, just like all crossovers do.
Does he have a goatee?
Yeah, all great team-ups.
Does he have a goatee?
No.
Okay.
So Galvatron is telling the Autobots, hey, there's a bunch of crap going down. I need your help. So the Autobots just stand there and posture for, like, you know, 15 pages, and then they're like, oh, there's zombies running around, what do we do?
And shoot them in the head.
Yeah, so it's you know, I've read some really bad IDW Transformers comics. This is not one of them. If it wasn't a Transformers comic, I wouldn't buy it. If I wasn't on Fanboy Versus this week, I may not buy it either. But no, I'm kidding, I would never do that.
I believe now this is the only one of the four separate miniseries that are actually being written by Abnett and Lanning, though.
Yes, it is being written by Abnett and Lanning.
Yeah, and they're writing the main Infestation, but they're not writing the other three minis.
Here.
Obviously, Transformers is special.
And Nick Roche does the art.
Art's not bad.
It's not bad. I think he does a pretty good job. He's not like...
And based on the previews I saw, it was a lot more cartoony looking than his usual style, more exaggerated.
The last page really ticks me off because I don't necessarily think it's good art, but...
Gasp!
Yes, but, you know, the rest of the book's not bad. The rest of the book's not bad. Yeah. That's, you know, if you like Transformers and you like zombies, buy it. If you don't like either, or if you only like one... Skip it.
I kind of wanted to pick it up, but like I said, since if I don't get like Kirk and, you know, the Ghostbusters and Optimus Prime,
what's the big deal about zombies running around the Ghostbusters universe? They're used to that crap anyway.
See, they're going to be the experts. They're going to be the ones who solve it.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, these aren't made of ectoplasm.
Egon's just going to be like, yeah, this is how we solve that in my world. Yeah. And they'll tell them.
Could be. Okay, but yeah, it's not bad. If I would recommend, if you like Transformers, to read it. It's, you'll enjoy it. It's a mini series too, so it's not like you're investing a lot of time or money into it.
Yeah,
that's my best lukewarm recommendation that I can provide.
I'll have it.
It's sort of okay.
Yeah, it's sort of okay. It's tolerable. All right. That's all
just
that I read.
A glowing recommendation.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, that's all that I read. Three that we've already mentioned. So,
and we're saving Secret Six for the end. Then, so what have I got this week?
Did you read Rescue Rangers number 3, McFeely?
I did not read Rescue Rangers number 3. I couldn't even if I wanted to. You can't get the Disney comics over here.
That's right. Sorry, I thought about reading it.
Did I rub that in?
No, would you want to read the Rescue Rangers? I know you wanted to read the Darkwing Duck. Yeah, I mean, with Rescue Rangers, who cares about Rescue Rangers? I mean, for God's sake.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't even...
Darkwing Duck's been awesome.
Has it?
Darkwing Duck's
actually had ideas above its station that I'm not sure 100% are working, but I've enjoyed reading it.
Of all the Disney cartoons from that, you know, that were on in the 90s, of course, my favorite was DuckTales. And, you know, I was a DuckTales fan, but Darkwing Duck was second, so...
Well, Darkwing Duck was great, but... You know what? Gummy bears was better than DuckTales.
Oh, I love me some gummy bears.
Bouncing here and there.
I know, but I got DVD sets of two of the pair.
Your wife thinks it's the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, Kim thinks it's stupid.
But God, I love that.
Okay, I don't count gummy bears because it wasn't part of that block.
It was more like the forerunner to the whole thing that opened up the Disney afternoon.
But yes, gummy bears was fantastic. I love gummy bears so much.
Gummy juice makes humans strong.
Yes.
And with that digression, what the hell did I read this week that is even worth talking about? The final issue of Ultimate Thor came out this week, which really reveals this mini to be... It hasn't been bad. You know, it's been Hickman, so it's been worth reading. But it's really just the origin of Thor in the Ultimate Universe. And so after, you know, once I'd read the third issue, you know where all the pieces are going to fall by the time you're reading issue 4. You know Loki is going to wind up trapped in the room without doors and then get freed. And you know that Thor is going to wind up on Earth and... basically, the only question that was left to be answered by this final issue was, how did Thor go from being a mental patient to being the subject of the European super soldier experiment that gave him his powers and his hammer?
God, you know way more than I do. I totally dropped off of the Ultimates and have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, this is our Ultimates 1 and 2 stuff.
But the
answer is that Donald Blake has been running around in this comic has been split into 3 time zones. There has been ancient Asgard. There has been World War II, in which Loki, posing as Baron Zemo, that was awesome, makes an alliance with Frost Giants and teams up with them to invade Asgard, Nazi Frost Giants, in the uniforms. Yes, that was awesome, too.
It is awesome.
And the present day, in which Thor is a mental patient locked up in the European Super Soldier facility, where he's being tended by Dr. Donald Blake, which was the tricksy thing. And it turns out in this issue that Don Blake was actually Baldur reincarnated in human form after all the gods fell, which was how Thor wound up on Earth, because Ragnarok happened and the gods fell.
Wow.
The great mystery of how Thor became and escaped, turned from mental patient to superhero, was because Don Blake told them all that he wasn't crazy and they gave him the weapons and the powers and stuff. That's about it, really. It hasn't been bad, but, man, Carlos Pacheco, I don't know how you pronounce that, he's not what he was.
His art's changed.
It really has,
different.
You know, but his art has been in a constant state of evolution. I remember back in the 90s when he was just Joe Madureira light.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he do Avengers Forever? He did do Avengers Forever,
and that was whenever he was straddling the line between that more angular... sort of manga influenced style and the more realistic style that he did on, remember when he was doing Fantastic Four with Jeff Loeb?
Yes.
Yeah. And this is definitely more reminiscent of that Fantastic. It hasn't changed too much since then, except it's just not as. it's just, it looks a lot rougher, and you wouldn't, I just, you know, I mean, I don't want to rip on the guy or anything. I've never been a hater of his art or anything, but I just wouldn't think that reading that comic, I was looking at the art of somebody who'd been working for 20 years in the industry and had done better art before him, honestly, you know. With Hickman Project, I really expect a bit of art that's going to wow me, or at least, you know, be real high-end stuff.
I don't
which
know.
Has been the case with this fantastic
maybe
Marty
just
Shield.
Collecting a paycheck now.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, Carlos Pacheco is a pretty high-end name. You know, you sit up and you take notice when you hear he's working on something, but
yes.
When I heard
about
this,
Ultimate Thor, it just didn't work out, so maybe it was his anchor, I don't know.
When I heard about this book, I don't know why, but for some reason, I think Brian Hitch was drawing it. I don't know, I didn't even think he was, I mean, the other guy was
particularly
doing it.
Associate with the Ultimates.
Yeah. Oh, well.
What else did I get this week? Final issue, another final issue of a four-issue miniseries. Last issue, She-Hulk came out as well. You didn't read this one, did you, Triplett?
No, but tell me that it was awesome. Tell me we're gonna get more She-Hulk.
Is it Dan Slott?
No,
it's not Dan Slott. Somebody called Harrison Wilcox, and I still don't know who he is 4 years later. but this has just carried on the same story of the She-Hulks, Savage and Sensational, hunting down the leftover members of the Intelligentsia, the conglomeration of super intelligent criminals who were responsible for Fall of the Hulks. And also, for some reason, Lyra dealing with the vagaries of cliche high school.
Awesome.
And this issue is
she goes to the prom kit because the cover is like her in her prom dress. Looks like she's going to fight somebody. I wonder who's going to bust it at the prom.
The most that ties this thing together is that basically they capture the wizard in the first issue, and he proceeds to sell out the other members of the Intelligentsia over the following two issues in return for creature comforts, like what's he got there? He's got a stereo, he's got a TV, he's got a lazy boy, you know, creature comforts in his sale. It turns out that he takes all the electronics out of the various different things that he's been given and uses that. He can't break out of his cell. So he uses all the electronics he's been given to create one of his anti-gravity devices and just lifts the whole cell off out and goes to attack the prom because revenge, I guess. And, you know, cliche high school bitch girl becomes a friend, and then the guy that he likes She-Hulk. And then,
That stuff already happened. I didn't know if maybe it was like, here's the twist. She's not her friend.
I figured that was going that way.
She's gonna dump blood on her or something.
Scenario, but nope. She just has a little cry, and Lyra is forced to reveal herself as She-Hulk to the school, and the girl, whose name is Amelia, claims she had no knowledge of this, even though she did. And it's a sad ending, and I'm left wondering. It wasn't a bad miniseries. It had, you know, in sharp contrast to the other one I was just talking about, it had very nice art, and the art was actually mostly what convinced me to pick it. It's had covers by Ed McGuinness, which are nice too, because Ed McGuinness.
But the interior art was good.
It's been very, very nice, and there's a little flair of the European about it. There's a little Paco Medina in there, you know. The artist feels a little influence, but there's a European Latin American flair to the style, and it's very bright and colorful and thick and large, very three-dimensional art. I've really enjoyed the artwork.
Yeah,
it's a little bit cartoony, but I always think you need a little bit of cartoony art when you're dealing with She-Hulk, you know?
Yeah,
but
I don't mind that. I don't need it to be super realistic. If anything, if they want to continue doing She-Hulk stuff, keep the artists. Get a new writer.
Yeah, definitely keep this guy on. The writer hasn't done a bad job either. It's just I don't really know how he figured he was going to convince people to buy into an ongoing series off the back of this, because this was supposed to be ongoing, but got downgraded to a mini before the first issue came out. I want more She-Hulks, but frankly, Marvel need to let go of Lyra.
Yes, I agree.
She is not a bad character. She is a good creator pedigree. She was created by Fred Van Lent. But, you know, if you want to keep using her, just let Fred Van Lent write her or whatever. Because and her Savage She-Hulk miniseries, that was good. It was quite funny, too. And Jen was stomping around in it as well. But
so what if they had him write She-Hulks? Would that be awesome?
That might work a little better, but he's nothing in here offends me. You know, his word. It doesn't. It isn't a bad comic, you know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't set my world on fire either. His way of writing Jen isn't too bad either. It's not his fault that, I mean, the core concept of outside of hunting down the intelligentsia is that Jen is teaching Lyra that, you know, she tried to live a normal life and go to high school and whatever, which is complete antithesis to Jen's attitude to being a hunk. You know, Jen would never turn back to normal if she had the option. That was the whole thrust of Downslot She-Hulk, because that had been the thrust of She-Hulk for years, is that she didn't want to change back. And then what happened, when was it? I don't remember when it was exactly, but she got hit with radiation and she couldn't change back, and she didn't care because she didn't want, she didn't like Jen Walters and just liked being the She-Hulk. So the whole responsibility angle that she's forced to put across, I mean, maybe if they played with that as an idea where She-Hulk is forced to be responsible and teach Lyra the benefits of being human and what have you, even though that's anathema to her, and she has to learn, you know, and she learns something about herself in the process. You know, that's a story, but that's not the approach they took with the character here. And Jen just really seems to exist to, you know, beef up the combat scenes and just deliver sage advice here and there. And there's a subplot in there about her hooking back up with Wyatt Wingfoot, but I presume that would have gone somewhere in the ongoing. It just doesn't feel quite true to Jen. It is really more of a Lyra book, and Marvel need to loosen up on Lyra, frankly. Just give us the Jen. I mean, I don't think the market's right for a She-Hulk book right now. In fact, I don't think the Hulk books are in the right place for a She-Hulk book anyway. She-Hulk has responsibilities in the bigger world of what's going on in the Hulk books, right?
Like, maybe she'll be on the Fantastic Four, maybe.
Maybe. You never know. But I don't think, as we were saying, we don't really think like they're going to call somebody to replace her.
Fantastic Four needs to be Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, Wolverine. And, sorry.
And, like, you need you to cut the Thing's face, and the Thing has to wear a metal mask.
A metal mask. There you go. Perfect.
No.
Well, you should pick up Christos Gage's Spider-Man Fantastic Four miniseries from late last year. It's just come out in collected form within the last month. You know, that's I was talking about it on the show when we were talking about it. It's a different story set in a different era of Spider-Man Fantastic Four shared history. And yeah, that's one of the eras.
Awesome.
New Fantastic Four and all the rest of it. Yes, that's in there. And it's Christos Gage. You can't go wrong. Recommend it. What's the last? The last thing I have this week is actually one I want to talk about. This is a good one. This is I'm gonna hold it up here. This is from the Marvel Vault, Doctor Strange.
So it's good Doctor Strange, not Matrix Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of backstory on this. This is the first from the Marvel Vault one shot. Now, I believe they've only solicited one more at this point, but I can only hope that more stuff will happen. This is stuff that was commissioned and maybe completed or partially completed, but never published because of whatever reasons. Now this, 1998, cast your minds back. There was a little series running by Roger Stern called Marvel Universe, one of those books that sprang up in the wake of the whole Heroes Reborn thing, the era that brought us Thunderbolts, Kazar, Deadpool, books like that. And the idea of this book was that it would explore, like, forgotten and far-off corners of the Marvel Universe, just wherever and whenever in time. The first story was a three-issue story arc with the Invaders in it, which involved Baron von Strucker and time travel and trying to ensure the outcome of the war, stuff like that, founding of Hydra. And then the next story arc, which was my favorite, was about a new group of characters called the Monster Hunters, which was Ulysses Bloodstone, Dr. Druid, and a new character called Zawadi. And it was set in the 50s, and it involved this team of monster hunters hunting and fighting and killing and rounding up and whatever all of the great 50s golden age Journey into Mystery monsters, Grotu and Gugam and Gorgilla and all the rest of them. But it was also, because I only started reading like Marvel comics, like properly, seriously, reading and following them with Heroes Reborn, so less than 2 years prior. And this was one of my big introductions to the concept of the history of the universe and the way it could be bent and shaped and retconned. Because in the course of this thing, they folded the Eternals and the Deviants into the legacies of various one-shot Golden Age characters and Mystery Comics They made all the 1950s monsters be deviant mutates, and Makari was involved in, and he just introduced me to this older world. I loved Marvel Universe. I thought it was a great series, and it was canceled after 7 issues. Huh. If you have to cancel the book after 7 issues in the 90s, things aren't. Of course, this was when Marvel was struggling its way back out of bankruptcy and was doing whatever to see it would stick. And I thought that was a damn shame. And this here is the next issue. This would have been issue 8 of the Marvel Universe.
Cool.
So Roger Stern had this written. This is the great thing. This is from back when things were written Marvel style, where Roger Stern sent Neil Vokes, the artist, an outline. Vokes did it, and then Stern would have scripted the dialogue later. And he never finished scripting the dialogue because the cancellation notice came through. So for this one shot, he went back to the completed art, which they pulled out of the files, re-scripted it, and the story is the story of how Doctor Strange got his house. The story of how Doctor Strange got his Sanctum Sanctorum.
This sounds awesome.
It is a rather fun issue. He meets the realtor. The realtor talks him through the sordid history of the house, murders, fires, deaths, and everything. And Doctor Strange is like, you know, he's like, now that you know, I'm sure you'll want to look at some other properties. And Doctor Strange is like, no, this is great. I'll have this.
Like, yeah,
it's perfect for me.
That's awesome.
And there's something skittering around in the shadows. And he goes off, you know, makes his first business purifying the house. So he goes following it, and it leads him through a storm of illusions that progressively retell. It's a retelling of Doctor Strange's origin as well. Progressively retell his origins until he fights, and it culminates with him fighting and beating the presence that has possessed the house. And it's as simple as that. It's a nice simple idea for a little corner of Marvel Universe history. That just carries on the theme and the ideas of Marvel, of the Tales of the Marvel Universe, which is the title of the comic.
I know this question is irrelevant, given it's a Marvel comic, or a comic in general, but this is now considered canonical.
I would assume so, yeah. Well, it's hard to say, because it's a one-shot that's actively advertised, is never published, so I guess so. I mean, there's one thing about the issue that I do have to say against it. This is only supposition on my part, but I'm pretty sure towards the start it has been re-edited a little to comply with current Marvel policy, in where the realtor offers Doctor Strange a cigarette and he turns him down, and then says, you know, gave them up while I was studying overseas, advise you to give them up as well. Because Marvel has a policy now, if you don't know or not, the heroes characters can't smoke. Heroes can't smoke.
Yeah, Wolverine can't smoke no more.
Wolverine can't smoke, Saint can't smoke, Nick Fury can't smoke.
That's Quesada, right? Because
it's just Quesada. So maybe it'll change now. But basically, I think Doctor Strange originally accepted the cigarette, and they've digitally erased it from his mouth. Because in 2 subsequent panels, he has no mouth. And it looks like, you know, it just looks like a bit of there are other panels earlier on where he also has no mouth. It is just a sort of minimalist look to the artist's style. It has that where you could do that. You know, it's not that the art looks bad. But I really think that he took the cigarette. Because on the next page, he has the cigarette, but then reacts to its presence in his hand as if, the evil forces in the house have put it there.
That's awesome.
No, and did they really murder?
I'll be honest, you know, it really, really pulled me out of the comic. I still enjoyed the comic, but that moment occurring early on was like, you know, it was like, dude, come on, really?
There's like murder and rapes and awful things going on in this house. Yeah. Like, they're forcing people to smoke.
There's a panel as well that really, really, really convinced me of this. Was they retell there's a couple of panels early on where they retell Doctor Strange's origin, and it's that famous panel where the doctor comes out and says the operation was a success. Your patient wants to thank you, and Doctor Strange says I can't be bothered. Just make sure she pays her bill. Now I haven't got it handy at all. I'm just gonna suspend the show a moment while I Google shamelessly. I need to compare this to something. We can edit this out if this drags on too much.
No, this is fine.
While I'm doing this,
I have a very light hand when it comes to editing.
Yeah, I just want to see if I could find the panel that I'm thinking of.
Now, did the patient wind up being Jesus, or how did that work?
I thought it was going to wind up being Juan or something. The way you were getting. Oh no!
Okay, I can't find the thing. I'm not finishing it. I'm pretty sure that in the original panel, Doctor Strange is puffing a cigarette or putting one to his mouth whenever he tells the person that. And the panel here in which he says it, in this thing, he's got his eyes closed, he's got his lips puckered, and he's got his hand coming up toward his mouth, but his hand is empty. So I'm pretty sure there was a cigarette digitally erased from that as well.
Did they actually go back to like stuff like Essentials and take that stuff out? I mean,
I don't
know.
Think so. I don't think they took it out of the Essentials. No, I don't think so.
I haven't bought any in a while, so I didn't know if they reprint. They're just taking that junk out or what. It'd be kind of stupid. There's some like awesome like covers of Wolverine smoking a cigarette with a big gun. I remember it. It was kind of awesome.
Oh, it was the 90s.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they delete them from things like that anymore. But I'm just looking to see, confirm, deny. No, I still can't find. I don't know. I think I'm going to take a look later, see if I can verify that. So, yeah, that pulled me out of the issue a little bit. But overall, I admit to being pre-biased towards the issue because it was the next issue of a series that I really, really enjoyed. And the concept of how Doctor Strange got his house is just a cutesy idea. It almost feels like that this would have been the start of a couple of Doctor Strange-themed issues in the series, because like he talks to the Ancient One at the end and he says there will be more trials to come, and I'm like, oh hey, that would have been the next issue too. And it's Doctor Strange as well, so you know, it's always nice to get a bit of Doctor Strange. Mark Waid's miniseries was the most recent thing we had, and of course he's running around in New Avengers, but it's nice whenever you get proper classic red cape, cloak of levitation, all the Vagamoto stuff.
Yeah, God, please just like bring Doctor Strange back. Give me a book, I'd buy that.
Well, speaking of books, actually, just may as well plug it while I'm here. All 7 issues of Tales of the Marvel Universe were recently collected in trade paperback. I think the title of the book was Invaders. They called it an Invaders book, even though 4 out of the 7 issues in it don't contain the Invaders. I think it was called Invaders Out of Time or Invaders A Stitch in Time, something like that. But really, like, I know I recommend things a lot, but like seriously, I really recommend this. I loved that book back in the 90s. It was one of my real introductions to the idea of continuity and rewriting history and just the general complex way Marvel history can work. And I just, you know what I'm like when it comes to that stuff now. So I guess maybe you could see what kind of an impact that book had on me in introducing me to those sorts of concepts. So I really do recommend that. I mean, it's from the 90s. It's Rod Chiliar, you know, in digital coloring. It's when digital coloring was still only a bit. And it's Roger Stern, you know, so the general tone of it is not very 90s. It's a little bit, you know, older school. But that fits with what the book is doing. So, you know, go give it a look. I encourage it.
You know, you mentioned digital coloring. And digital coloring was already well established by the time Dark Knight Strikes Again came out. But it really killed.
Yeah, that was 2001, 2002. Yeah,
but it really, like, killed digital coloring for me because it was just so terribly, 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 terribly done. Sorry. That's just the digital coloring always makes me think of Dark Knight Strikes Again, which always makes me want to bleed.
Yeah, that's a bad book.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's
better left unsaid. Yeah.
Eve of Destruction. Invaders, Eve of Destruction. There you go. Strongly recommend it. Check it out. Available in paperback now.
Yeah, and Brian just stepped out for just a second. I don't know if he's got a little break for just a second, but he'll be back in just a minute.
Well, that's all I have anyway, so I think all we're left with then is Secret Six for this week.
Yeah, I'd say he didn't read it. I don't think he read it.
Well, then let's just carry on without him then.
Sounds good to me.
Not reading Secret Six. What's wrong with him?
I mean, he might be reading it, but it wasn't in the pile he was showing me, so I don't know.
Well, this is awesome.
I liked it. I thought it was a good issue.
This was just awesome. I mean, this is more of a gag issue now than we've had of late with Secret Six, but it really felt like Secret Six. Like the Action Comics crossover wasn't bad, but it wasn't wasn't the best it had ever been.
Yeah, and I felt like the crossover that issue of Action and that issue of Secret Six wasn't the best that we've been getting. And it was in both ways. It wasn't because of Action, and it wasn't because of Secret Six, maybe because it was a crossover. But I don't know.
We've already said that the Reptile brand just wasn't Secret Six at its best. This is Secret Six at its best doing comedy. It's not its best at its grimness or its bleakness. This is genuinely funny stuff.
Yeah, you get the stuff with the Bane. Yeah. That was awesome.
Primarily, yeah. I mean, this is an issue about... This is the first part, first of all, of a crossover with the Doom Patrol. And it is... The main hook is that some slacker layabout named Eric inherits from his dead grandfather his criminal empire. He was a crime boss, a really stylish crime boss, back in the 50s, and he's left him his legacy. So the grandson is dedicated to bringing it back in style. Basically, imagine if like Steve and his friends from American Dad decided to become 1950s style gangsters, and you have this, literally.
Yeah.
And they head to Oolong Island, they hire the Secret Six to help them invade Oolong Island.
They want a volcanic layer. A volcano layer is what they want.
So that Oolong Island is elected. And that's the thrust of the crossover. While the subplot is about Scandal trying to help Bane by getting him a date with one of her... Well, I'm pretty sure this chick is a stripper.
Well, it's the strip club they go to, isn't it? I
mean, yeah, this is the strip club that we've seen a couple of times in Secret Six where Scandal's girlfriend works. Yeah. And and she's a rather petite, cute woman. And Bane is just struck completely silent when he sees her.
Yeah.
Like all the other women, strippers dressed as Black Canary and the Huntress and Harley Quinn just squeeing and gushing over him. He's huge. Oh, look at his wheezy weightlifter. He's huge. It's steroids.
He looks like a bear. That's what they say.
And then this quite small woman steps out and she's, you know, and Bane is just struck by her. And Scandal says, "Say something nice now, Bane. This is the time to say something nice." He goes, I wish to mate." And he hands her a box of chocolates and some flowers and says, "Here are the bargaining tokens they told me to purchase. Shall we begin negotiations?"
Yeah, that was good.
And of course they try to cover for him, and then some greasy patron comes up and starts manhandling her, and Bane punches his face inside out.
And we don't see it, but they say, like, what happened to his face? It's like a waffle iron hit it.
And that's that part of the story. And then we go to the Doom Patrol, who are on the Oolong Island. That's where they live now. I'm not sure why they live there. I don't read Doom Patrol.
But it's got Robot Man fishing.
Ambush bug in it now.
It's got Robot Man fishing. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Robot Man is fishing. Full on hat, waders, and everything.
Yeah.
Hat vest and waders. And then the rest of the Doom Patrol, who are currently... I didn't know Ambush Bug and Bumblebee were on the Doom Patrol, but now I do.
Yeah.
And Negative Man and Elastigirl are here as well. So they're trying to catch one of the chief's biogenetic experiments that's living in the lake.
It looks like a fish with a face.
Fish with a man's face on it. Yeah. So they fight the fish thing, and then they wake up. Once they've caught the fish, they look down, and hey, Elastigirl has had one of her legs bitten off. Because guess who's still working with the Secret Six? It's King Shark.
Awesome.
I thought that he might be hanging around based on what he was saying last issue, but he is. Because, you know, there's eight of them now. There are eight members in the Secret Six.
Dude, when he jumped into that hot tub, I was like, he's here to stay.
I love working with you smelly losers.
Yeah.
But, there are now eight members. Catman, Deadshot, Jeanette, Scandal, Bane, Ragdoll, Black Alice, and King Shark.
Yeah, but Black Alice is still there.
Yeah, I really thought her story was done, but I'm not going to object to her. I like the character, so, you know. And King Shark just pops out of the water, leg bitten off in her hand, and reads out a prepared statement.
Yeah.
But he can't finish it because he's been in the water, so the page...
Thanks, Ron. Yeah.
And then the rest of the issue is just a straight-up fight between the two, which is an excuse for something. Some of the stuff that Secret Six does best, which is pithy banter between everybody. You know, the Catman runs towards Robot Man, and he says, "Oh, it's these guys."
I don't actually like these guys.
And he just starts shooting rockets out of his shoulder.
I like Robot Man. That kind of makes me want to read Doom Patrol, but I don't know if it's any good, though. So.
And then Deadshot returns. You know, one of the rockets hits Jeanette, and Deadshot just says,
"Firing from the hip, but the woman I'm currently putting it to ain't got any chivalry or whatever at all."
King Shark just bites down on the top of Robot Man.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I could just sit here and go, and then this happens, and then this happens, because it is just panel after panel of weirdness as Ragdoll just wraps himself around the Negative Man. "I suppose you think this will make me too uncomfortable to respond? Do you know, I hadn't even given that possibility much thought until now."
Yeah.
And then the issue ends on the cliffhanger moment, continued in the next issue of Doom Patrol. Not sure when that's out, but it'll be quite soon, I believe.
It sounds like this month, so that makes me think like maybe a week or so or something.
Well, we still have 3 weeks left to February, I think.
Yeah.
And they drop their bomb into the volcano and set it off, because they have to take care of that so that they can hollow it out to have their secret lair in it.
Yep.
So this is definitely Secret Six at its comedy best. You know, I haven't laughed at a comic out loud quite as much as I laughed at this one in a long time. I think we generally agreed in the past that Secret Six is at its best when it's at its darkest, because it is then that it is truly set apart from everything else. That its identity is most apparent, you know? I mean, yes, this was funny. It was a good gag comic, but, you know, there aren't any real gags in there I couldn't get from picking up Deadpool, say, or perhaps Doom Patrol itself. I don't read Doom Patrol, but if the characters are, you know, maybe I should start thinking about it. But it's when it's at its darkest that its uniqueness is most apparent. But that said, after a couple of uneven months with the title, this definitely feels like it's much more headed in the right direction. It's on the right track with this one, and definitely worth. We haven't even, you know, we barely scratched the surface with some of the weird one set piece gags and everything that flash up and down in the course of that. So if you're looking for, we recommend Secret Six all the time on this show, but. If you haven't checked it out yet, because maybe you think the grimness wouldn't work for you, check this one out. It's fun and laughter, and very different to the usual. Very, very different reason for us to recommend Six than the reasons we usually recommend it for. So, yeah, you should read it. But we tell you that all the time anyway.
Yeah, you guys got me to read it.
Yeah, that
works. I'll start soon.
Yeah, you better. I always like it whenever I know somebody has read. It's something I've noticed recently is that I have a far better hit ratio at getting people to read things when I recommend them via the medium of this show instead of when I'm standing behind a counter.
Hmm. Do you have some way of comparing that?
Well, people listen to me here and don't when I'm behind a counter. There you go. You know, I've had people send me messages on Twitter asking me to recommend them or help them, point them in the right direction for getting into something, you know? So I really like the fact that I don't get that. You know, people very rarely does somebody just march into the shop and say, "Recommend me something, shopkeep." No, mate, I'm just looking.
I've got $1 million. Recommend the comics that I want to buy.
No, we'll just get them on the internet. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so, if anybody out there wants to send me a message on Twitter asking for some kind of recommendation, I'm only happy to comply, you know, because I know that I like to believe that people seem to be listening to me a little more whenever I genuinely try to recommend something good on here, because I suppose it has the appearance of trying to sell something. It's like the shopkeep is the enemy. You know, because they're just trying to get you to spend your money. But through this medium, it's just because I'm spreading love of comics. So, yeah, if you want a recommendation or something, feel free to drop me a line at Chris McFeely on Twitter. So what else we got this week? You guys saw Green Hornet.
Yes, we did.
That's it for the comics. And there was no news this week, so we're running terribly short. We gotta come up with some way to buck this up. So much as it, let's try and wring 5 minutes out of Green Hornet. Tell me something about Green Hornet, because I went to go and see Green Hornet on Monday. I was gonna go see it, but my cinema's not playing it anymore. So
I wonder why.
On Green Hornet.
The trailer had wonderful 3D. But the movie didn't.
The movie had scenes that were good 3D, but those scenes, they were in the trailer. And I think that's the problem where it was misleading.
Yeah. Yeah. So the movie, the Green Hornet, the character, is a terrible person.
Yeah. I have no idea anything about Green Hornet. I know that there's this dude in a car, and he has this other guy with him that drives him around, and the other dude kicks butt, and he doesn't do anything. And that's all I know about Green Hornet, so it was pretty much that, but the rest of it, probably okay. Going to offend Green Hornet
fans. When the movie, when I thought the movie
now
was...
That implies there are fans.
That's
true. Existence.
Yeah, that's right.
When the movie...
Not to slight any Green Hornet fans who may or may not theoretically exist.
When we were watching the movie, I thought it was over at one point, but it went on another 60 or 70 minutes.
Oh, really? What point did you think it was going
to
end?
When they were at the dump, and their car...
Oh, they had to get out of that.
Yeah, I thought they were going to get out and then kill the bad guys.
That was a very long end of the movie, though.
The movie would have gone like an hour 10.
Yeah, but no.
It drug on.
It did drug. I mean, it does.
Long.
Is it 2 hours?
I think it feels like a lot longer than it actually is.
Okay.
And it's
is it me or are films just getting longer?
Some of them are. I mean, you know, it costs less, of course, to make a shorter film, and they can put more butts in seats that way because, you know, there are more showings, but...
I just don't know. I kind of like Green Hornet, but...
I did too, believe it or not.
It was better than I thought it was going to be, because like, when I was watching the trailer, I was thinking, man, you know, this probably isn't going to be good, but I still want to see it.
the Gangsta Paradise.
That was kind of the trailer that made me like want to see it.
The trailer made me want to say it was the original trailer. I'm like, wow, you know, this actually looks like...
We've spent the most of our lives living in
it. I thought it looked funny, and, you know, I wanted to see it, and I wouldn't buy it. But I wouldn't see it again.
Not to spoil the ending, but I did love the ending.
The ending was great.
The ending was really funny.
The way the movie actually ended, not the denouement, but the...
Yeah, the part, like, you know... The resolution for what happened to him, you know.
Yeah,
something happens to the Green Hornet, and they got to explain it because
it's
the secret identity thing is all I'll say. And
yeah.
It was funny. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was very.
It was not a bad movie. It's just that, like with all the other comic awesomeness that's coming out, it kind of gets lost.
Yeah,
you know?
It picked a good time to come out. Otherwise, it would have been lost with like the Green Lantern.
But it did do well though, didn't it? I mean, like it won. Like it was like first, and it's. In the first couple of weeks, I mean, like nothing else was out, so
yeah.
But
I can't tell you how many people I heard confuse Green Hornet for Green Lantern, which I think is part of the reason.
Easily done.
Oh no,
yeah,
dude, didn't this movie already come out? I mean, I want to go see Green Lantern again.
It's like I don't remember him having CGI junk in that first movie.
Yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, it's watchable.
Yeah, it's a rental. I don't think it's a. Go out and see it in the theater.
It's a Redbox movie.
It's a Netflix or a streaming or something.
A dollar at Redbox.
Yeah, but it's worth watching, I think. You'll find something likable about it.
Yeah, so when Triplet wasn't on a couple weeks ago, that's actually what we were doing. We're out with Green Hornet. Sorry.
It's a better reason than football.
Actually, I already explained it to them, so they know this already. Okay. Because I was supposed to be I'm the foreign correspondent that went and saw Green Hornet, I guess, or something.
Cookout was awesome, too, wasn't it?
What cookout?
Cookout.
Oh, the food. Yeah, it was awesome.
Some cheer wine on the tap. Fantastic.
Yep.
Okay. Remind me what that is.
It's a soft drink. It's a cherry sparkling beverage. It's delicious.
It's made by the gods.
It's made by the gods. It's local to where we live. It's in the southern United States. It's spreading and it's delicious. It's amazing.
Cherry flavored things are not common over here.
Yeah, there are no souls over there.
Candies or drinks. No, I don't know what that is. Like, we don't have grape either. We have blackcurrant. We don't do cherry.
Yeah.
But I always learn about these things. I've never, like, cheer wine or whatever. And I did see a thingamajig the other day.
Awesome.
I didn't know they were out over here, but I saw one.
Next time I send you something, I've got to send you that Rodimus. I'll send you along some cheer wine if Customs wants to take it.
I don't know. I don't know what the policy with food is.
We'll find out before I send
that. Yeah,
package.
Find out.
Maybe send them in separate packages just so Rodimus doesn't go missing along with them.
That's true.
If they take it away.
He wants his Rodimus. He doesn't care about the chair one.
Yes.
He has to have that.
I've been getting a lot of toys this week.
I heard. Yeah, I saw.
I saw you got Teradive.
I got Battle Blades Prime, and I got Lugnut, and I got Teradive, and I got War for Cybertron Soundwave, and I got some of the new Reveal the Shield Legends, and I got my Speech Rodimus. Oh.
What do you think? We haven't even got the legends yet.
No.
What do you like? What did you get?
Legends?
Yeah.
Gold Bumblebee. So that's just a repaint, whatever.
Okay.
And Prime. I haven't been able to find. Starscream or Megatron. They are out over here. They're about. I just haven't found them yet. But wow, that little Prime is fantastic.
Looks cool.
It is. It is like wow. It is like I love Legends. For one reason among many others, just seeing how the size class has evolved.
Yes.
Since it was, I mean, whenever they came out in Cybertron, they were just little shitty things.
Yeah.
Just little cheap $3 things that were just whatever, you know. But those things have just, like, they weren't even particularly good for the first movie either. But since then, they've just been coming along in leaps and bounds. So that little Optimus is brilliant. Nope, Starscream and Megatron are as good.
Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Yep. Do we have anything else this week at all?
I don't have anything.
Nothing else? Who saw Young Justice this week?
I saw it. It was all right.
Is it already started?
Oh, yeah. Restarted.
Oh, yeah.
Two weeks ago for us,
so
I think.
We've had a couple of episodes.
We've had three episodes, I think.
I need to watch that, all of the Avengers, past the first
episode. You haven't watched Avengers!
I've watched the first webisode.
I think Avengers, did it have its season finale? Is the Kane episode?
I don't think that was a season finale.
Because we haven't got a new one since.
I'm Brave and the Bold. I got to catch up on.
For shame, sir. This is just appalling.
Yeah, you should like stop what you're doing tonight. And go and watch the Avengers.
Okay, go home.
Okay, see ya.
Now the thing about Avengers was actually the episode with what was it? It was called Widow Sting. You know the one that ends with the Viper and
yes,
that's actually the 19th episode. That comes after the Kang three-parter. I think they bumped it because they wanted to end the block of episodes they currently have on a big going out note, but the season was 26 episodes, so there should still be like another 7.
Yeah, it just felt like at the end of that Kane story, I was like, wow, this is a good season finale.
They decided to go out on that note. Makes you wonder what the actual season finale is, because I could have seen them holding off on Kang until next season. They were doing so many other things.
Yeah, I was expecting something else. I was expecting Kane to come back, like maybe at the end of the season, and then we don't get it resolved, like maybe at the end of the next season. But hey, it was still awesome there.
Yeah, Avengers was kicking ass. Is kicking ass. Ultron, and it's setting up Ultron and everything in there.
Yeah.
Kree-Skrull war in the future as well.
So much good stuff
television.
Coming.
I'm pleased to see people talking about how they're watching that now. I see people who wouldn't normally like be a big fans of Marvel or whatever reading and watching and enjoying the Avengers as well. So that's good. Because, I mean, this is really, you know, this is Marvel's first real DC-level cartoon. We've said that before, and I want to see it succeed, and I want many seasons of it.
Yeah.
Cartoons are in a good place right now.
They are.
We got that, we got Young Justice, we got G.I. Joe Renegades doing a great job as well. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, we need to talk about Renegades at some point.
It's not really stupid for this show, but...
I know it's not an RFC thing, I know it's not a comic
It fits better with RFC, though, but just talk about
it somewhere.
We got new Prime next week now as well.
Yes. Ooh. Yes.
Loads of stuff. But we're wandering here at the very end because that seems to be a record short show. I've obviously done very poorly here, so I apologize to everybody listening.
No, you're amazing.
Because I've ended the show about a half an hour to an hour earlier than normal.
Well, we didn't have like a Fantastic Four issue or some big event.
Yeah, it was just a standard sort of week.
That's okay, because we have a Super Bowl party in here in about 20 minutes. We need to start prepping.
Well, all right then. Hey, go me. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess that's that then. So tune in next week. JD will be back, and we'll get this show kicked back into proper order. I think it might even be our one-year anniversary next year. It might even be our one-year anniversary this week. We haven't checked yet.
But
it's definitely this month sometime. I'm pretty sure it's this month, so that's coming up very soon.
Well, let's pretend it's next week and not this week.
Let's do that, yeah. Yeah. So tune in next week when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.